like three people, and one of them is like, it's just a fucking cat.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Molly Glover, Nick Glover, and Tim Wick.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, we are talking about Ted Lasso on Apple TV. It's an amazing show. We've mentioned it before. We love it. You will love it. Go watch it and then come back and listen.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I'm your host, Molly Glover, joined as always by my co-hosts, Tim Wick.
Hello.
And Nick Glover.
I'm a ray of sunshine.
And today we are talking about the ultimate in positivity, heartfelt, and comedy, Ted Lasso. If you are not yet on the Ted Lasso hype train, let me just say, stop this episode right now. Go watch it. It's on Apple TV. If you don't have access to that, I suggest you find a way to pirate it. I don't know. And I didn't say that. But for real, it's really, really good. And it is worth your time. You've been bringing
this thing up for like 3 weeks every time.
Yeah. You may be like, this doesn't sound like my thing because I'm not into sports and I don't really care about sports at all. Well, let me tell you, friend, me neither. But it's really good. So we're going to spoil the shit out of it. So stop listening if you don't want to be spoiled.
There's a lot about this show that on paper would lead me to believe that this is not a show I would enjoy.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Correct. And yet, it's one of my favorites of the year.
Absolutely love it. Yeah.
So Ted Lasso is it's an American comedy, but it is set in England, London specifically. And it follows an AFC Premier League AFC Richmond, which I think might be a made-up team.
Football or soccer, if you're nasty.
Yeah, exactly. We're going to say football going from here on out, and we mean soccer. So just like wrap your little Americentric brain around it. Get with the rest of the world. So Ted Lasso is an American football coach who's coached college.
Well, hang on now.
I said American football.
Okay, all right. American football. Got it.
He's coached college level and high school level American football. He has a partner who is like, it seems like he's his ride or die bitch. He's a guy who's been his co-coach for a while. They've worked together for a while now.
Coach Beard.
Yep, Coach Beard. Ted Lasso gets hired by, Rebecca Welton, who is the new, brand new owner of AFC Richmond in that she won it in the divorce from her husband, who was the longtime owner, huge mega fan. And what we, the viewers, know, but Ted Lasso and Coach Beard do not know, is the whole reason she hired Ted Lasso, who knows nothing about football and is an American football coach. The whole reason she hired him is because she wants this team to be run into the ground and dissipated. So it brings her husband nothing but pain.
It's her ex-husband.
She's pulling a major league, yes.
But, you know, if you say it's major league, you are really not getting the point.
Right. That's just the basic plot in a sense that she's intentionally trying to ruin it.
Just ruin the team, but also I feel like embarrass them by having him as a coach.
Yes. It is meant to embarrass her husband specifically.
Right.
That this, this aw shucks, very Midwestern,
Kansas,
hey guys, positive ray of sunshine, doesn't really swear too much. Like I wouldn't say he's like super Christian or anything like that, but he's just a real good guy with a whole lot of positivity and, you know, a little bit of a twang when he talks.
Yep.
So he's got that little bit of an American sound, and he is brought to this team and just told he's their new coach. The team has a couple of featured players. There is a hotshot young guy who is the celebrity star of the team.
Jamie Tart.
Jamie Tart, who has his
Jamie
song.
Tart, do, Tart, do, 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 Jamie Tart. God damn it. So can't get that fucking song out of my head.
And then there is Roy Kent, who is the elder statesman, as it were, because he used to be the young hot shit.
Right.
But he's been playing now for like 12 years.
At the end of his career, kind of.
Yeah. And people are always talking about how he's fat and he's slow. He is none of these things.
He's not fat. He is not fat.
No, he's not. But he is, you know, he is like in his 30s, maybe, or late 20s.
Which is pretty old for football.
Yeah. Right. And so they are kind of the clash. They provide like the mortar and pestle, I would say, you know, for the rest of the team, and the fight for the soul of the team. And then Ted Lasso is just trying to, he genuinely, even though he knows nothing about football, he's going to coach it. Cause what he does know is coaching.
Right.
And he knows teamwork.
Right. He just needs to know the sport.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Besides, and so Coach Beard knows the sport. That's all that matters.
Coach Beard does know the sport, actually. Like he's the one running the plays and coming up with the plans and everything. And they are surprisingly they start to do well.
Well, they start to do better.
It's yes, they aren't a great team to begin with. It seems like it sure feels, right. they are. It's not as bad as Major League, where it's like a whole bunch of ne'er-do-wells brought specifically just to be shitty. But they're not the stars.
I think what's kind of nice about it from an underdog sports story kind of narrative arc is it isn't they magically become a great team, but they gradually become a better team, which is more the way it would work. That I appreciated about the sports part of it. Although honestly, the sports part of it is less important. It's the framework that they hang the movie on.
Yeah.
Not the movie, the series on.
It might sound a little cliche, but it's not just that they become a better team. Everyone is also kind of becoming better people, or people that are more content and satisfied and happy with their lives. And that's the team, that's the owner, that's the journalists that cover the sport. Like everyone that crosses paths with Ted Lasso ends up becoming a more happy and complete person. And that sounds fucking weird.
Yeah, it's his positivity is contagious, and it's because it's so fucking genuine.
Right.
Like he is, there is nothing false. And then you find out the reason that Ted took this job, leaving America to come to England, to come to London, is because he and his wife are kind of on a break. They are separating. And so they're using this as a separation. And yet you don't get any of that. There isn't any pathos with him. He's still being very like, okay, you need your space, and that's what I'm going to give you, and that's why I'm here, and I love you, and it's a very, it feels like a very amicable situation in that she just stopped loving him, and she didn't want to, and that's just where it is.
It's one-sided, but amicable.
Yeah. And so that is happening, and so, like, you know that he's not just some happy-go-lucky guy for whom everything's always gone right. He does have struggle in his life. He does have this, you know, underlying tension, but he, for some reason, is just able to maintain a positive outlook and believe in people and in their goodness, his own and everyone else's. And that just, it's like that rising tide raises all boats, right? Like he brings up all the boats around him with his unrelenting positivity.
I think he believes if you treat others decently, they become more decent people. And it's super touching, and it's also the show is fucking hilarious, but
it's so funny.
Incredibly funny,
and it
great writing, great acting.
It's great as far as just shooting a dart into the concept of toxic masculinity. dart. Anyway, there's one episode we call the Diamond Dogs and Darts episode, which is a great fucking episode.
Yeah.
But it's like after he agrees to give his wife a divorce because he needs to, you know, again, it's treating somebody decently. That's what he had to do. And the next episode he comes in into the coach's room, and he's pretty fucked up. He is not in a good place. And Nate asks Coach Beard, you know, do you think he's all right? And there's so many answers that you would expect from that moment, but all that Beard says is no. Just like, it's such an anti-toxic masculinity moment, because he's like immediately acknowledging, no, he's fucked up. And we have to deal with the fact that he's fucked up and help him through being fucked up.
Yeah. And Nate, so Nate is the kit man. He is basically, it's the towel boy. Like,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Like he's the equipment manager, and he is much abused, especially by Jamie Tart. And,
oh, yeah.
And at first, and Ted again elevates him, starts calling him Nate the Great, because Nate knows a shit ton about football.
He does.
And is actually really knowledgeable in the strategy
and
of
the
it.
Team.
And,
he knows about the team.
And the team. And so he starts asking him, what do you think? What do you think? And kind of bring him into this assistant coach
position.
Nobody
asked me my name.
Yeah. And so as a result, because he respects Nate, the other people are starting to see that Nate deserves respect because the coach respects him. And so that they start respecting him more and treating him less like a mascot and an outlet for abuse and more like what he is, which is a part of the team.
Roy ends up having the elder football player ends up, you know, telling some of the other players that they need to fucking knock it off. And that is like a moment when he starts to become a leader for the team is when he starts to stick up for Nate because of the respect that Ted Lasso has shown Nate and how he's, you know, set that standard for treating someone well.
Mm-hmm.
Roy starts to see that and he gets encouragement from Ted to do that. And in him doing that, he starts to kind of come into his own and find his place as a footballer who is on his way out.
I just want to ask you, who was your favorite character? If you could
all
pick
of
one
them.
Character,
oh,
you can only
God
pick
damn
one.
It. God
you can
damn
pick
it.
One character. Who's your favorite character?
Molly.
I know.
It's positivity. It's Ted Lasso.
Ted Lasso's your favorite?
But my favorite aspect of him is his interactions between him and Coach Beard.
Okay, yep.
Where they like finish each other's sentences kind of. And like one of them will ask a question. The other one has a ridiculous answer that, you know, he's said like 100 times before.
In jokes.
Yeah. But Ted Lasso is my favorite character.
My favorite is Keely.
Oh, sure.
We haven't even talked about her yet. So Keely is Jamie Tart's girlfriend. She's a model. She works for AFC Richmond. She's done a bunch of other work too, but she and Roy kind of end up together after Jamie dumps her, or they break up, or she breaks
dumps
up with him. She's cheating it on her, or whatever.
Her role in life up to this point seems to be she's a model, but also she's a footballer's girlfriend.
She's a footballer's girlfriend.
Whatever footballer
deal.
That happens to be, she's a footballer's girlfriend.
And Roy starts to treat her like a person with interests, and she sees what it's like to be not arm candy, but somebody who actually loves you and wants you in their life because they like you, not because they think you're hot, not because you're a good shag, not because you look so good and everyone knows you're a model. But like, and so that relationship, I loved that with Roy. I love how they made each other better. But she is sassy. She is dark. She says she just kind of blurts out things without thinking. So it's no surprise I love her, but also like she's genuine and she's very genuine with people. Like she's honest, and I wouldn't say brutal, but she treats people kindly in her honesty.
Yeah.
It's hard not to love her. What do you think, Tim?
Well, that's a shame. Can I pick everybody else?
No.
Damn it. I guess I'll pick Rebecca. Who's the owner of the team. Just because, you know, here's what it's like, the whole thing is set up like Major League, and that character in Major League, the same character doing the same thing, trying to destroy the team, is played as a villain in Major League.
And really bitchy.
Just really awful.
Yeah,
and Rebecca, it's like what she's doing is wrong. You can't support her for what she's doing. And yet you really understand why when you meet her ex-husband and see what a complete bag of dicks the man is and how he treats her and how you understand that she has reached this point where the only way she feels she can hurt him is by hurting his team. And it takes her a really long time to understand that in hurting the team, she's hurting other people who don't deserve to be hurt because they didn't do anything wrong.
Yeah.
And it's amazing because she's kind and she's decent to these people, but she's also doing something terrible to them. And you can see how it's really tearing her up.
Yeah.
To be playing both sides of herself. How she's not a terrible person, but how this situation is making a good person do terrible things. Mm-hmm. And it's just the character arc for her is really, really good.
She is, I think there's something undervalued or underappreciated in general about a good straight man in a comedy duo. Mm-hmm. And she sets Ted Lasso up for some of his funniest lines in the show. Mm-hmm. And just because of who she is and how she acts and her demeanor as the owner, it makes his jokes so much funnier. Like there's the like, so I spoke to the owner of the Sun. You spoke to God?
Yeah.
The newspaper. And like, there's one line, I can't remember exactly what it is. It's like, how do you take your tea? Well, usually I take it right back to the counter because someone made a horrible mistake.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Basically the line.
Yeah, all the tea set up with them.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you wouldn't see him at his funniest without someone like her to be a kind of curmudgeon.
But also like so she has an assistant, I guess, for lack of a better term, who's like the financier to some degree,
Higgins.
And you know, at first you're like, oh wow, she's just a bitch because she just heaps abuse on this guy. But then it's pretty early on that she's like, you know, he says something like, you know, you're mean to me. And she's like, let me ask you this. How many of the girls that my husband slept with did you know about?
Mm-hmm,
how many times did you lie to me? How many times, so you're saying that we're friends and I should be nicer to you? How many times did you lie to me about where he was and what he was doing to help him cheat on me?
Yeah.
And he's like, eh. You know, like so to some degree, even when she's like the people that she's not being nice to, you're like, this, she has reasons to be the way, to be as angry as she is. Like you said, Tim, like she's a good person with reasons to do bad things, that the revenge is all very like justified. And yet you know, she shouldn't do it. You know,
Anthony Head plays such a great piece of shit.
If you saw Buffy and you love Giles, boy, are you gonna not like Anthony Head in this movie?
Yeah,
I don't think you can be more or less Giles.
There are so many sincere apologies in this show.
Yes.
Yeah.
They just fucking apologize. It's not like, I mean, you could learn so much about apologizing to people by watching this show.
Yeah. Yep. There's something I hate in modern television, in any television. It happens a lot, though, in lazy television writing and movies, where the plot tension comes from two characters who won't just talk to each other.
Yeah.
So they won't admit to something they did. They won't confess to how they're feeling. They won't tell someone about what happened. It's one of the reasons I love Stranger Things. Like, shit goes down in Stranger Things, and they're like, we got to tell our parents. Like right away, they're like, I gotta tell my mom. Like, and so
when your entire plot could be unraveled by two characters just exchanging one sentence,
that
feels shitty.
Yes, yeah. And so in Ted Lasso, when there's that kind of tension, there's very few times that there's a secret, and if there is, it gets resolved, and then and then there's an apology, you know, for the like, you're right, I did that, and I hurt you, and I'm sorry, you know, and they. And it's always a, not just a, oh gosh, that's on me, but very much like a, I'm sorry I hurt you. I did hurt you. I recognize that. Yeah.
Or when there isn't an apology, when there's a shitty apology, it's acknowledged that it's a shitty apology.
Yeah. Like Jamie.
like Jamie and his shitty apologies. For as funny as this show is, there's so much great human interaction within it. That you forget about how funny it is.
Character is so dimensional.
Yeah. And I mean, Pat and I liked the show so much. We watched it in two nights. And then like a week later, we were like, you know what we want to do? We want to watch it again. So we just rewatched the whole fucking series a week later. And you know, there are moments you get to that you just start laughing all over because you forget about it. When he's like walking out the door and he's doing this woohoo thing and he jumps and he smacks his head into the door frame. And you're just like, oh, I forgot about, or every time he takes a drink of sparkling water.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
spits it out.
Caught him off guard.
Yeah. Or every yeah. time he tries to like tea. And he's trying so yeah. hard
Brown
to like
water.
Tea and he does not.
Yeah.
It's one of those things about the Ted Lasso character. It's like he's never going to stop trying to like tea.
Yep.
The relationship between I forgot the owner's name.
Rebecca
and Keely.
Yeah.
When they start becoming friends. Towards the last, you know, like three or four episodes, their friendship is fucking great.
Yeah.
Their friendship is so good.
And then like, they get together with her old friend.
She's wearing that fancy dress and Keely is just like, holy shit, Rebecca, where did you get those tits?
Yeah.
It's just so...
affirming.
And yet like tactless.
Yes.
Like she has no guile. She's very upfront and assertive about who she is and what she wants.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yet she also finds herself and figures out her new path and what yeah. she's going to do too, you know, not just with Roy, but like professionally using her skills.
Well,
the whole thing with the fucking hotel TV system that has her on it, like telling everyone about the local culture
clubs
when
and
staying
pubs.
In the hotel.
Clubs yeah. and pubs.
Pubs
yeah.
and karaoke.
Oh my
it's
God.
So great.
So like, again, so Roy Kent is this like curmudgeon, and, you know, and like, they do a good job with explaining how awful it is to be how great and how awful it is to be a pro sports player, right?
Mm-hmm.
Premier League footballers are fucking kings in England, right? Like this
yeah.
is they make shit tons of money. They're celebrities. They are revered people. I mean, they are mobbed on the street. The people know who they are, right? So, you know, this is, you understand why Jamie Tart is threatened and trying to hang on to that celebrity because he's young and he knows he's only got so many years. You know, he makes fun of Roy because, you know, you find out later, he's like, when I was a little kid, you were my hero.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
you're the guy I saw. And I was
the
like, I'm going to be a footballer like you.
Yeah.
Your poster's on my wall, you know? And like, you know, Roy is dealing with this crisis of like, what the fuck am I? If I'm not a pro footballer, which he's not going to be because he's hurt, his knees are going, he's slow. It's time for him to retire. And it's like, so what are you then? Because your whole life starting at about age six has been football, football, football.
Yeah.
So now what are you? And Keely's like, you know, asks his, but then you see him at home. He's with his niece. He's always taking care of his niece.
Yeah.
And so he's like this toxic masculinity thing, but also at the same time, like he's playing dress up and doing girly stuff with his niece. Like, unapologetically, very
loves her.
Gruffly, but
yeah.
still at the same time, that's what she loves.
He's not a different person when he's interacting
no,
with her. He's still Roy
he's
Kent.
He's still Roy Kent,
yeah.
right? Fucking Kent. And like, you know, she doesn't care that he plays football.
Yeah.
Like, and that's something that they point out. And like, you know, you see Jamie get threatened by the young player, Danny Rojas, who comes from Mexico.
Football is life.
Yeah, football is life. And he's like so positive. He's like Ted Lasso. He's got that positivity.
Yeah.
And so Jamie's like, oh, here's my replacement, right? Here's the next young guy who's going to capture everyone's hearts. He's going to get the chance. He's, you know,
yeah.
and it's really interesting. Everyone has reasons. And then you find out, you know, Jamie's father is a piece of shit was super abusive. And like the last episode, I was like crying because, you know, Jamie takes the shot and he wins and they lose.
Makes
the extra pass to take to win the game. And his father's just like, you could have taken the shot, you fucking pussy. And Ted's like, I'm proud of you. And just, it's just so much there. Like,
yeah,
it's
yeah.
so good.
It's a great
it's
show.
It's so good.
Basically every angle. And we didn't even, and it's like, we only got three favorite characters, which means none of us mentioned Coach Beard. And that's a goddamn
Coach
shame.
Coach Beard!
Because
with
Coach
the
Beard is so great.
Oh, I forgot about the chess dating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a great character and he's quiet.
Understated.
Yeah. Really, really good. I don't think there's a single character in the show I didn't like. Even
right.
Giles, Anthony Head's character, the ex-husband who used to own the team, who's a piece of shit, genuinely. But even him, I'm like, Like, oh, he's a great bad guy. He's some. Yeah. He's a character you love to hate with his new girlfriend, whose name is also Rebecca.
Yeah, I know.
And it's like the new fiance,
Bex. Yeah. And then it's like, oh, it turns out she's pregnant. Like, oh, just so fucking digging the knife.
What
in.
A piece of shit.
You know,
but I mean, how beautiful is that moment when he comes in and he digs the knife in about her being pregnant, which is the moment that Rebecca realizes, I've been the worst person ever, and I can't be this asshole.
I can't
be like that.
Yeah,
I have to come clean on everything that I've done, and I have to do it right now.
Scorched earth means everyone's burned. You know, like that's the thing. It's
So I got it. Before we do five questions, what's your favorite moment from the show? What's your favorite character?
I wasn't ready to go to five questions or finish. So, like, yeah, I was about to ask that. Agreed.
I wanted to ask that. I was just, I didn't want to miss it. I wanted to ask that question.
We will do that. Let's jump to that next. Yes. Okay. What's your favorite moment? We'll do least favorite. We'll do a least favorite moment after that. But favorite moment in the show. I'm guessing you have one.
I do. I do. My favorite moment is from the Diamond Dogs and Darts episode when Ted's playing darts against asshole Giles.
Yeah.
That's what we're just going to call him now. It's Rupert. His name's Rupert.
It's
asshole Giles. And you know, and all he says is he's just like, you know, asking questions is important. Being curious about somebody else is important, because if you'd ever asked me, do I know how to play darts? I would have said yes.
Yes. I played darts with my father every week.
until he died when I was 16. And I just love that moment, because it's like him saying, you could have realized that I was sharking you.
Yeah.
Just by asking me a question
that
you chose not to do. And it was a great moment.
My favorite moment is there's been like some rough back and forth between Keeley and Roy, and she calls him he comes into the press conference room where she's like set up to practice some stuff, because she's working with the team to help them practice for press conferences. And she gets him up there. She's like, let's practice. And she has him sit up there, and she's asking him, like, she's raising her hand, and she's like, you know, Keeley, whatever, from the Women's Times, you know, I'm just here to ask you, like, you know, do you want to go out to dinner with me? And, you know, and he's like, sure. Yeah. And she's like, all right. And she moves to another seat, and then she's like, raises her hand again, and he's like, okay, yes, you. And she's like, you know, Keeley, whatever, from the Women's Times online. it's just so cute. And it's just so like, she just keeps going. Like, she's much like Ted Lasso, she's unrelenting in this, like, she's gonna break through his fucking shell. He doesn't get to push her away, because she knows that's his MO, and she's gonna break through until he realizes that, like, she gets him, you know. And I love it. I loved it.
Yeah, that was a great scene.
Favorite moment is everyone's waiting for like the big thing that's gonna like turn the team around, and like what's it gonna be. And Ted Lasso comes out, and he's like, all right, Nate, take it away. And unassuming little Nate, the equipment manager, comes out all timid with his paper that he gave Ted for the things he needs to say.
It's like about the team members.
And he
right?
just fucking rips every member of the team a new asshole verbally. Like, do you wax your pubes? No. Then why are you trying to play like a Brazilian? Yeah. Like, just like, it comes out of fucking nowhere.
You keep saying football is life.
Yeah,
the defense is death.
Yeah. It was so great.
It's a great moment. I would rewatch that episode just for that moment again.
So we already established that there's none of us have a least favorite character. We like all the characters. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but was there a moment that you were like, it fell flat for you, or that you were like, that was just okay, or was there like any joke that you were like, about? I will say, I at first I was not super happy with the whole like, oh, Rebecca's friend, Sassy, is like, she set her sights on Ted, and she's going to basically just like take him down and then like basically like kind of take advantage of him and have a one night stand. Yeah. It felt a little predatory, but then they turned it around in a way that, because at first I was like, oh, now he's going to be full of self-loathing and feel like he cheated, even though he didn't. And it's going to be this whole, but it wasn't. he was just like, that was very nice. Thank you very much. You know, I'm gonna head out. And they treated it better than I thought. So I will say they had me in the first half, I'm not gonna lie. And I was a little bit like, oh man, I hate this like trope of like, who's he? He's wholesome. I'm gonna wreck him, you know. And it didn't happen that way, but that was just a little bit of a moment where I wasn't super happy at first. On a rewatch, wow, it wouldn't bother me because I know the outcome.
Wow, it's a tough question because there wasn't a lot that I felt like, oh, that's not working for me. I think the first, okay, the one thing that I was kind of like, it didn't bug me. It's just that I knew it was going to happen, right?
Yeah,
it was when they were doing the gala and they don't have a musical act. And I knew it was going to be that dude from the park that we'd seen in a few other episodes.
Yeah,
I'm like, that's the only person that Ted can go for is this dude in the park. And of course he was fucking amazing. And
he was, and
it's all great. And that was the only part where I was like, I wish that, you know, I wish I hadn't known, I guess, that that was like, so obvious from the beginning of the episode. It's like, well, this is the guy that they're going to get in the end.
Right.
Everything else about the episode is great, but that little bit of it was kind of like,
And it's pretty amazing when your worst moment is like a minor, you know, like, What about you?
Boy, it's so hard to come up with things that you didn't like about this show. And I like that both of your things were things that were like yours, Molly, upon a rewatch.
Yeah.
It wouldn't bother you because you know how it is.
Yeah.
I feel like similarly, the setup with the tabloid photographer. And it almost gets treated like it's resolved.
Mm-hmm.
And it's done. And then they bring it back at the end for her to confront Rebecca with as like I thought you were my friend type thing.
Yeah.
Like I feel like they could have gone without that coming back and she could have just been upset about, you know, her trying to run the team into the ground because she loves Ted and she loves Roy at this point.
Yeah.
But honestly, it's such a minor nitpick that I think it was fine too.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel like we didn't need another thing there.
And
that's fine. Whatever.
Yeah. I see that.
I did think of one more thing that,
that
wouldn't bother most people, but because I'm enough of a sports fan that I've watched actual people, you know, actual Premier League football matches from time to time. When they actually show those guys playing football, they are really bad. I mean, they're better than me. Don't get me wrong. They're better than I can play football, but you're watching me like, oh my gosh, they couldn't even like find a way to fake this better.
That's fair.
It's not, it didn't make the show worse, but it was something I noticed. Every time they had like a shot of the team playing actual football, I was like, oh, this is really badly done.
That's fair. Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. I think all in all, I mean, if you're still listening and you haven't watched it, I feel bad for you because honestly, I think you've lost a lot of the magic in the sense that now you know so much of what's going to happen, but still watch it, to be honest. If it sounds at all, maybe you're one of those people who doesn't care about spoilers and you need to know a lot about a show before you dig in. It is absolutely worth it. I don't know. I'm a bit of a light touch for emotional moments these days. I tend to cry at things more often these days than I have in the past. But I will say this show had me legitimately misting up several times of like in moments of going, oh, I'm just so happy for them, you know, kind of a thing. And you really do care about every character.
Yeah.
And that is hard to say for most shows these days.
I think we mentioned this like a couple weeks ago when one of the first times the show got brought up on the podcast, but Apple TV has an app on Xbox now. And obviously if you have an Apple TV, you know, no shit, you should probably be watching the show. I think they have an app for Roku, but like if you can get a free trial, like Ted Lasso, Mythic Quest, Raven's Banquet, Central Park.
Yep.
And Tim, what was the werewolf?
Wolfwalkers.
Wolfwalkers. Get if you're out of things to watch in the pandemic, like get a trial to Apple TV Plus. Like crush those three or four shows.
God damn it! That's what I should have said last week when we were asking about the best movie I'd seen in the last. It was Wolfwalkers. Anyway.
Oh, I didn't know it was a movie and not a show.
It's a movie. Right on. It's so good. Anyway.
Yeah. Awesome.
But yeah, Mythic Quest is fucking hilarious. Yeah. Also strangely heartfelt at moments. True. I wasn't expecting it.
Yeah, Apple TV, Apple Plus keeps bringing the heartfelt shows.
Central Park 2. Also has a lot of heart.
Yeah, that I was, yeah. I'm really impressed by the quality of the TV there. But as indicated earlier, it is time to move on to five questions. And
like we said
last week, we are out of five questions, which means we have five questions from a host, five questions from Nick Glover.
Yes. Right.
I pulled five questions out of my ass.
Sweet. They stink.
All right, I'm ready. But I don't have to read them. This is the first time in a long time.
I don't have answers to them because I was too busy writing them real quick.
Okay.
So
is it just Tim and I are answering?
No, I will answer them as well because I'll get there.
Okay.
Question number one, what's your least favorite job interview question?
Oh, I hate the what are your weaknesses? I hate that question because it's a stupid fucking question. Because like what they're trying to get me to, like, you don't actually want to know what my weaknesses are.
Right.
You're trying to find out if I'm able to skillfully talk about my shortcomings in a way that doesn't, like, and my weaknesses are not something, I don't know. It's a stupid question. And I just think it's a dumb addition to any interview.
Yeah, well, I was going to say the same thing. It's the worst fucking question because nobody's ever going to tell you a weakness that they can't somehow turn into a strength, right?
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
What's your weakness? I care too much.
Yeah.
You know, it's a bullshit question, and you get bullshit answers. Why are you even asking?
Right. Hire me and find out.
My greatest weakness is that I refuse to participate in the charade that is this question.
Yeah. I also hate where do you see yourself in 5 years? Because go fuck yourself. Like,
how the fuck do I know?
Do you want me to say at this company? Because I don't even know if I want to be here yet. I haven't even why are you even asking
it's
that?
It's an interview for them as well.
Yeah, it's weird.
I feel like when money gets brought up in an interview, I am not a fan of that because I'm also not a fan of people just not posting how much a job pays on a job posting. Mm-hmm. I feel like wages should be a lot more transparent, and the ways in which they are not hurts employees. It hurts labor. Yeah. And so when someone says, well, how much do you think you should be paid for this job? I want to be like, well, how much are you paying everyone else that has the same title?
Yeah, right.
Like this isn't a debate, we're not bartering here.
But it feels like a shady way to try and pay somebody less than they think they should get paid, right?
Yeah.
That's exactly what it is.
Because people are almost always going to lowball themselves because they don't want to quote a number that's going to put them out of consideration.
Right.
Right.
Well, and what's stupid is if you're asking me how much I want to make and I say $50,000 and you're thinking, oh, we can only pay $30,000. Why don't you just say, oh, I'm sorry, we can only pay $30,000. Is that still acceptable?
Yeah.
Instead of being like, oh, she's out.
Yep.
She'll never take this job. Yep. You don't fucking know. Like, don't tell me to value myself and then be like, just kidding.
That was my second choice, Nick. So you both picked the question I would have picked. So,
question two, what's your favorite flavor? This could be an artificial flavor, a real flavor, or one of the basic flavors, the five or six, you know, with umami.
Raspberry.
Umami.
Raspberry flavor.
Raspberry. I like fresh raspberries. I like raspberry candy. If someone's like, oh, this has notes of raspberry, like this wine or this beer or whatever, super into it. I love raspberries very much.
Mm. My favorite flavor is, in a very general sense, is spicy.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's spicy and sour, like a vinegar-based hot sauce, spicy and sour together in that way is my jam. Uh-huh. I could put vinegar-based hot sauce on every meal I eat for the rest of my life and be quite content.
So you're very down with Tabasco, for instance.
And Frank's.
You know, Tabasco is okay. I like Frank's or Louisiana.
Well, Frank's
better.
Is better. I mean, there's no fucking question.
Yeah.
But
Tabasco in a pinch. I mean, you're at a
Tabasco's
diner and
fine.
That's all they've got. You know?
Tabasco's fine.
Yeah.
I like Cholula on eggs.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Yeah. I think lime is probably my favorite flavor. I mean,
it's a
good flavor. It is a good flavor, and I will literally cut up limes and just eat the fucking lime.
Me too. Yeah.
Anything else? It's delicious. Yeah. And with like sparkling water.
Yeah.
99% of what I drink is lime.
Limeade flavored, right?
Limeade is so good.
Cherry limeade.
Oh, yeah. Limeade. Key lime pie. Yeah. Lime. Lime is amazing. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Lime's damn good. All right. Question three. When will you know you've made it?
I think I've made it.
You're living the dream?
I'm living the dream. All I ever wanted when I was a kid was to have enough money that I could just afford the stuff I want. And I have very simple wants. Like, I don't need fancy stuff. I just wanted to be able to go to the grocery store and buy stuff without thinking about it, which I can do. I wanted a husband and I wanted a dog. And I wanted my own house. And I feel like I'm, honest to God, I'm living the dream. Like, it sounds dumb. I have a job where I'm fulfilled. I get to do theater. I feel like I've made it. If I achieve nothing else in my life, I am very happy and successful. Right. Yeah. What do you think?
I feel like I'm similarly like
it's okay. You can, it's okay. No. I want you to know I won't feel bad if you don't feel like you've made it.
No, I feel similarly. With one like asterisk, and that's like when it, professionally, there's like a dollar amount I have in my mind that I am like a nice round number that I'm not at yet.
Okay.
But if I was at that number, I feel like financially I'd be like, well, shit, I don't need to make any more. I don't need to, like, if I made this much money for the rest of my life, I'd be good with that, and I don't need any more. Like, there's and I feel like that's not far off or unreasonable or crazy wealthy or anything.
Tim, when will you feel like you've made it?
Hey, this is a hard thing because I've kind of set myself up that I can't ever feel that way, but from it, because I'm a freelance performer and everything like that, I guess the way I'd feel I made it is if I didn't have to keep looking for work, if it just found me.
Sure.
Like, you were being offered so much work that you couldn't even, that you were having to turn work down.
Sure, but the way I've established myself is that I'm the one that does all the work looking for work.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? You know, I've almost set myself up to never get there.
What if Fearless had its own theater and was a self-sustaining company, and you were basically just like the artistic director in the sense that, like, you know, you were in charge of things, but like you weren't, it wasn't so much a grind. Would that make me feel good too.
That would be good too. Yeah. All right. But I don't know. You know, I do get offered work every now and again. But, you know, if I got to the point where, you know, every month somebody was offering me a job that I didn't have to go look for.
Yeah.
I'd feel like I made it, even if I wasn't getting paid, because I'd feel like I was good enough that other people wanted me to do shit for them.
You're being sought. Yeah. You want to be sought. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. All right.
Question four. If you could automate any one thing in your life, what would it be?
Like, are we talking like tasks that I have to do?
It could be a chore, a task. It could be an errand. It could be, if you could automate anything, it could be driving, auto driving car,
cleaning
the
kitchen.
A dog walking robot.
Cleaning the kitchen.
Cleaning the kitchen. Cleaning the kitchen is a never ending task. I hate that after I make dinner, I have to clean it up. It's so fucking annoying. I did all that work to make dinner and I eat it and I feel so good and I'm satisfied because it was such a good meal. And now shit, there's dishes that I have to deal with. If I could get rid of that task, if something just did that task for me, I would love that.
Jeez. You're going to have to come back to me because I like doing stuff. I got to think about this.
So I feel like I have like a practical answer and an impractical answer. My impractical answer is that, like, if I could find a way to automate exercise, which kind of defeats the point of exercise, but if I could find a way to automate exercise, that'd be golden.
Like, strap yourself into a machine and it just does it for you.
Yeah. Like, and I'm just free to do my own thing and free to, like, listen to a book, or hell, if I could exercise while unconscious, that would be the best. I'd be down for that. That'd be great.
Okay.
But
they sell
otherwise,
all sorts of dietary supplements at GNC.
That's not the same. So, but otherwise, in a more practical sense, I would love it if I never had it. I don't dust. I don't dust.
Who taught you dust?
But I'd love it if I never had to dust, right? If I had a self-dusting house, like a dust-proof house, you could have action figures out on display, not behind glass and shit like that. You could, all these, you know, fiddly bits. That'd be great.
That'd be nice.
So dust was like the one thing I was thinking I hated in terms of tasks. That's like the, but like, can I automate my knees? Is that a thing? Can I like just have robot knees?
Defurring the house.
Yeah, but that just feels like get a dog. I mean, like, yeah, I don't love how it's a very sheddy house between my hair, the dog's hair, and the cat. Like, there's a lot of hair everywhere. So like, yeah.
Unclogging drains.
I don't mind unclogging drains. I find it satisfying. I like doing a lot of gross, weird tasks. Like, that's the thing. Everything I can think of, I'm like, yeah, but that's the satisfaction of a job well done that I'm being robbed of. You know, like, but I would say, yeah, I guess, like getting fur off stuff. I wish just like fur wasn't on stuff. If I could just have
couch that was like automatically got the fur off itself.
Or if there was like a filter I could just set up in the house that just all the fur got pulled, like magnetically pulled to it.
Yeah.
And I just had to change the filter every day. Like that would work for me. That would, that would be good. Yeah.
All right.
All right.
And question five, what's the best practical joke or prank you've pulled?
So one, we used to do pretty significant April Fool's Day pranks in my family. April Fool's Day was a big thing what we did. And my favorite was the year that I convinced everyone that I had bought a goat. And it worked pretty fucking well. Like, it worked well enough that like my family was texting me, asking me what the fuck I was thinking.
Yeah.
Like, did I even, where was I going to keep the goat? And I was like,
we're in an apartment, right?
No, it was here. Oh, I was like, in the basement. And they're like, you can't keep a goat in the basement. And I was like, sure I can. And I just like, anything they asked me, I had a ridiculous answer for. Like, well, what about the smell? I'm like, I'm just gonna hang a bunch of pine tree air fresheners, and also it will simulate the goat's natural environment. And like I just ridiculous answers, like, you know, like, how are you getting the goat? I'm like, oh, it's walking here. Like, just, you know, and like things that you would think would make someone automatically know, oh, she's kidding. And no one thought I was kidding. So then my mom called me and was like very upset about the goat, and it was pretty great.
You got yours, Nick?
So I have a friend that hates Julia Roberts for not any one particular reason.
Just finds her very irritating.
But most specifically, her smile has too much teeth. Not necessarily too many, but just
there's a lot of
percentage-wise, there's a lot of teeth happening. I had this great idea, and I conscripted our other mutual friend to help me out. I made a collage of Julia Roberts, and I went to a Kinko's, FedEx Kinko's now, and I made about 20 or 30 copies of this Julia Roberts collage, and then we cut them all out. And we went to her dorm room when we knew she was in class, and we asked her roommate to let us in, and we hid pictures of Julia Roberts in everything she owns. We taped them to hangers under shirts so she wouldn't see them until she pulled off a shirt or a dress. We put them in between pages of all her books. There was a time when like 6 years later, I'd get a text that was like, fuck you, I just found a Julia Roberts in my copy of Infinite Jest, you asshole. And like, it was the practical joke that paid off time and time again for years.
That is Tim, pretty great.
Tim, what's yours?
All right, so very briefly, two years ago, first day of the Minnesota Renaissance Festival, we are out with the Dregs walking around, and Molly from the Dregs reaches down and picks a flower to sniff it. And it's like a flower somebody had spent work planting, right? So she picks the flower, she sniffs it. She's like, ugh, this doesn't even smell like anything. And she crushes it and she just drops it on the ground. And Trevor says, what the hell, murder hobo? And Molly's like, what? Now, it would have ended there, except, of course, what Molly does when something like this happens is she posts on Facebook, We aren't even an hour into the 2019 Minnesota Renaissance Festival, and I just got called a murder hobo. So this is where it starts. And through the course of the season, it turns into murder hobo season with the dregs. But the best part of it was that day I sat down and I wrote a murder hobo song about Molly. And we didn't tell her. Just anytime she was off doing something, we wrote the tune for the song and everything, and we practiced it so we could perform it perfectly. And then we bribed an audience member to request the murder hobo song. So Molly's like, we don't have a murder hobo song. And I'm like, I think we can come up with something. And so we perform this song, and Molly's like, what the fuck? And we get to the middle of the song, and I'm like, here's the violin solo, Molly, D minor. And she's like, what? And then she had to play a violin solo off the
fantastic
head in the middle of the song. It was perfect. And
that's great. I have one runner up that I had just forgot about until this moment, but it's pertinent to the show. So I used to have Tootsie Rolls on my desk, and Jeremy would always come and take the Tootsie Rolls and eat them. And so I had three of my friends save up Tootsie Roll wrappers for a year. So I would have a bunch of Tootsie Roll wrappers, and I took a few of them. I took like six of them, and I took baby carrots and I cut them down to be the size of Tootsie Rolls, because Jeremy hates vegetables. And I wrapped up baby carrots and Tootsie Rolls wrappers and left them on his desk. So he was very excited until he found out they were carrots. Oh. And the other wrappers we dumped on someone's desk who always ate Tootsie Rolls. So he came into work and there was a mound of about 500 Tootsie Roll wrappers on his desk. And he's like, what? And we all went, oh my God, what'd you do? Yeah, that was a good day.
Tootsie Rolls much?
So is Jeremy the kind of person that unwraps the Tootsie Roll and pops it into his mouth without looking?
No, he unwrapped it and went, fuck you! And he's like, are they all like this? And it's like, yeah. He's like, oh man. It was great. He was sad. And you'll probably die sooner because you didn't eat those vegetables.
Those are all good practical jokes that don't like ruin anything or destroy anyone's shit or hurt anyone's feelings.
Exactly.
Those are great.
That was five questions from host Nick Glover.
I guess
if you want to send us,
have to take turns with this shit.
If you want to send us your five questions, so that'd be great. And we'd really appreciate it because we're out of them. So please send us five questions. And you can send them to five questions at geeks.god.com. Additionally, we would love it if you wanted to support us on Patreon. And if you do, your questions get bumped to the top of the queue, the patron queue, which if there are multiple patrons in the queue, you're at the bottom of the page. It's a whole thing, but it's fine. But you go to patreon.com/geeks.god and support us there. Any amount of money gets you access to episodes like this early, and a couple bucks a month, you get to watch our beautiful faces as we record from our homes. In like a little while, you'll get to see us record from our new house because Nick and I are moving to Minneapolis.
Ooh,
so
la la.
We'll have a whole new background.
So
it is.
I'm going to change my backdrop just in camaraderie with you.
So on top of that, we would love it if you would go follow us on Facebook or Twitter. Give us a rating if you haven't given us a rating. Write us a review. Tell your friends that you like us because we're great. And, we hope you're all surviving this pandemic. It's got to be like week 50 at this point. And we got this. We're just going to keep on keeping on. Those vaccines are rolling out. The end is in sight. We appreciate you for listening. And we'll see you next Tuesday. Bye.
Bye. Football is life.
We're geeks. We're geeks. We're geeks without God. We're geeks. We're geeks. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Need more Geeks Without God? Go to our website, read our blog posts, find us on Facebook, or follow us on Twitter at Geeks Without God. Social media!
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
It's like your microphone just gives up when it gets tired.